Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and we're joined this hour live by U.S. Senator Charles Grassley. He's good enough to join us again. Senator Grassley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm glad to be with you, Ben. Thank you very much.
Senator Grassley, thank you for joining us again this hour. I'm looking back at my notes, and the last time I think you were on this program was June of last year, June of 2017. That was the day of James Comey's testimony before Congress about his firing. So you have a way of picking out big news days.
Well, you can call me in between. You don't have to wait once a year if you want to.
All right, will do. Let's talk about what happened on the G7 summit over the weekend, your thoughts on that. I want to ask you specifically about trade implications, but first of all, an overarching question. Do you understand the logic behind the president's approach, firing off a string of angry tweets, criticizing some of America's closest allies and trading partners?
I think I understand it the same way that the Canadian prime minister kind of told about he's a prime minister of that country, and he's going to look out for Canadians. And I think the president of the United States has taken a view that he's going to look out for Americans, and he feels like we're a low tariff country, and other countries ought to lower their tariffs, and then we'd really have free trade, and it'd be fair trade as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to remind our listeners that we have Senator Grassley here for a few minutes. If you'd like to join us with your questions, 1-866-780-9100 or email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Senator, what do any retaliatory actions, and I'm sure you must be keeping your eye on this, any possible retaliation by Canada, what does that mean for Iowa and the U.S. as far as trade?
It would be catastrophic from this standpoint, that Iowa produces about a third more than we consume domestically in the United States. I should say Iowa and agriculture generally. So if you can't export it, it means prices are going to fall. And we know from history, that'd be Carter, Reagan, and George W. Bush. When they do put tariffs on, it tends to be first retaliated against agriculture. Now, you might say, well, that's only 5 or 7% of the people in Iowa that are actually farmers. But don't forget, agriculture has a ripple effect through Iowa's entire economy, and it would affect a lot of Iowans. But it'd also be true of agriculture almost anywhere in the United States. And this is why I would not condemn the president from this standpoint, that if a president, any president, could get a better deal for America generally than what previous agreements have, nobody's going to find fault with it. But it's kind of a brinksmanship. And I think the president being a business person, as opposed, for the first time in the history of our country, as opposed to being a politician, he practices what he did in the private sector. If he doesn't go over the brink, then I think it's going to be good news for the United States. If he goes over the brink, it's going to be hurt agriculture very badly.
Mm-hmm. A Facebook question following up on this topic from Donald. I'd like to ask him, asking you, Senator, how he can still support a president who so clearly acts against the best interests of Iowans, according to Donald.
Well, as I described, if it happens, he is acting against the best interests of Iowans. But if the president turns out to use his leverage and do something better for Iowans, then who's going to condemn that? And I think I had a two-hour meeting with the president last week on this very subject with probably another dozen senators, and all of these people together had a strong voice on trade on behalf of rural America. So the president's hearing our point of view. So you know, to the Facebook question, I'd have to end my answer by saying, yeah, on this point, the president's very wrong. On the point of ethanol and how it affects the environment and 43,000 jobs in Iowa and holding up the price of our grain, you know, you can't find fault with the president on that point.
Mm-hmm. Explain, you mentioned the renewable fuel standard, biofuels, very important to us in the meantime here in Iowa, with a lot of our grain, our corn going to produce ethanol that's blended into our fuels here in this country. It seems, are you satisfied the president will reject this effort by the EPA, Scott Pruitt, I think you've been after him for potentially undermining the renewable fuel standard, right?
Yeah. We were going to get something that was negative. There were five different components to it. One of the components was very pro-ethanol. The other three or four were anti-ethanol, and it would have come out a net negative for ethanol. And a week ago today, the president said he was not going to sign that agreement. So from that standpoint, he stood up for us, but we did lose in the process the one component that was very good for ethanol, which was E15, 12 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm. So we have a president that is known to reverse course very quickly. Are you sure that we've assured the future of renewable fuel standard? Of course, farmers like you have to plan, have to know what the market is for corn.
My answer to that is this simple. He does have that reputation, as you suggested. I found him pretty consistent on ethanol.
Okay. Senator Charles Grassley with us. Join us, 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org is our email. The other big news, Senator Grassley, to have you please comment on. Of course, we're all hoping there will be some breakthrough at the summit between the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and our president that will lead perhaps to a Korean peninsula without nuclear weapons. What kind of deal would be acceptable to you?
Right now, denuclearization was probably a pledge from the president to open up markets with North Korea, to encourage investment in North Korea. So you not only have a less military confrontation, but you also are able to help the lives, very destitute lives of people in North Korea. You know, I always try to illustrate the latter point this way. 60 years ago, the economies of North Korea and South Korea were about equal. Now, because of the free enterprise system operating in South Korea compared to the totalitarian system of North Korea, the economies are about 30 times greater in the South than they are in the North. So you can see that anything we can do, if he denuclearizes, and we say we'll help you if you do that, then that's going to be very good for the people. Now, we have had these sort of arrangements twice under two different presidents, and so the North Koreans have always reneged. So I think in the process, the president can't take off the sanctions until we know that there's a process for denuclearization, a process for checking to see that it's actually being carried out with either international or American people being on the ground there overseeing it.
A little over 10 minutes left with U.S. Senator Charles Grassley. Let's go to our phones. Steve is with us in Altoona. Steve, welcome to the program. What question do you have for Senator Grassley?
Well, I heard the senator say that he's spoken with Senator Grassley and how Grassley says that the president understands exactly what's going on now with our ag markets. But I also know that whoever speaks to the president last is what he does. So even though he's spoken to him recently, he's not the last person to speak to him. The people who were at the Pork Expo last week in Iowa were almost in tears describing what's happened to the market and their ideas of what's going to happen in the future. And there's a completely different idea of agriculture future in Iowa now in the state than it is in Washington, D.C., looking back at the state of Iowa. And I'm interested to see what Grassley can do to help us.
Yeah.
Ben, you're going to have to repeat that because there's crackling coming through his telephone.
I'll do the best I can. Steve was just talking about farmers, and I think pork farmers as well, being, I think he used the phrase, practically in tears with, you know, the markets and so forth because of the policies of the president here and the potential escalation of the trade wars. I hope I didn't read too much into Steve's comment, but I think that's pretty much what it was.
Okay. Well, I think I've addressed that. I said if the president doesn't come out a winner in this and he goes over the brink, as brinkmans tend to do, thank God not very often, but if they tend to, then it's going to be catastrophic. So obviously I agree with the caller.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how optimistic are you that this gambit, this wager by the president will work? Are you 50-50 or better than 50-50?
Oh, I wouldn't pretend to put a percentage on it from this standpoint. How can you do that when one day you have tariffs, the next day they're off, the next day they're on, and then you have three different groups of people going to China to negotiate, and they all come back with different answers. And then you have the Chinese foreign minister or their minister come over here to negotiate on trade, and it looks very positive. And then when we send people over there, it doesn't look positive. It's an unpredictable sort of situation. And I think that's the way the president typically handles it. His mode of negotiating is to keep people off balance all the time.
Mm-hmm. Senator Grassley, a couple of other things departing from what's in the news to get to you, or what's in the headline news at least. Let's talk about judicial nominations. You are the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, of course. Let me just put this at your feet. You've been accused of ignoring a Senate tradition recently that allows a judicial nomination to be blocked if one of the nominee's home state senators don't return a blue slip of approval to the Judiciary Committee. Are you, in fact, ignoring that tradition, and why?
No. We send out blue slips to everybody, and I make this statement almost every week when this accusation comes up. In 100-year history of the blue slip, there's been 19 chairmen. All but two of them have had some exception to it. The only two that have had always abiding by a blue slip being returned or not being returned was Eastland, when he wanted to keep any judge who believed in desegregation off of the district court because he was from Mississippi. He honored him religiously for 30 years. And then you have Leahy, who was recent chairman. He honored them all. But for the other 17 chairmen, including Senator Grassley, there's always been exceptions. And in my instance, rare exceptions. I think there's only been five cases of blue slips not being returned. And that would be out of 30 judges approved on the floor of the United States Senate, 49 out of my committee that are on the counter waiting to be waiting to go through. And then there's about 45 in the process of going through my committee. So, and by the way, the blue slip exceptions that I've made for moving ahead, all but one of them have had at least one blue slip returned by one of the senators. And then so far, I've only exercised this for circuit court judges. And the reason why I did it for circuit court judges, you see, most circuits are made up of several states, and if one state, states of one senator, the senators from one state don't approve something, then that overburdens the people that are already on that circuit court. So when I see at the beginning of the year, or even as recently as 2 weeks ago, that there's 147 vacancies, I think we have to do what we can to strengthen the judiciary by getting people appointed and approved as fast as we can. And, of course, I can't do it any faster than the White House sends it up here to us.
Mm-hmm.
So the blue slip was meant to be, was never meant to be a veto by one senator. And And so that's where we are now.
Mm-hmm. We have a little over 5 minutes left, Senator Grassley. Hopefully a couple of questions with a brief answer so we can get to as many as possible. Here's from our Facebook page. This also been in the news. Bob asks, how much longer should we have to tolerate Scott Pruitt's ridiculous behavior? You've had some harsh words for EPA director, but we have, I think Bob must be referring to the soundproof telephone booth, the very expensive pens, the used mattress from a Trump hotel, and how many investigations are ongoing into Scott Pruitt, right?
I don't know how many investigations are going. I assume that one person or one agency is doing all the investigations. And so from the standpoint of possible violation of ethics, I'm going to wait until that ethics report is done. When it comes to if the president hadn't vetoed this thing that I told you a week ago, that EPA director put in front of him, that would have been grounds for firing. But right now I'm going to wait and see what sort of stuff we can get done on ethanol. But I want the listeners to know that I don't consider, on the bottom line, I don't think that we should stand for his treatment of ethanol when he's not carrying out the president's wishes on ethanol. And when it comes to a lot of this stuff in regard to what's the ethics are involved, the bottom line ought to be that taxpayers' money should not be misused. But I think we're going to have to wait. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's been misused, but let's wait until the inspector general gets done.
Okay. Let's go quickly to our phones. Alex is with us in Ames. Alex, I'll have to ask you to make it brief. Our time is running out. Thanks for being on our program.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I wanted to ask the Senator a question. Earlier, he expressed grievances against the president putting tariffs on, taking them off again. So I just wondered why he or other members of the Congress don't try to pass laws to limit his powers on tariffs more.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, the questioner is absolutely right. The president does have the power to do what he has because previous legislation passed during the Kennedy administration gave the president an exception to put tariffs on in case of national security. Now, I happen to believe that the president's excuse of national security is a subterfuge and possibly detrimental to American agriculture if the president doesn't actually win in these negotiations. But to change that law when national security is the number one responsibility and the president's commander-in-chief, I think for all other uses of tariffs, I would agree 100%, but I think there has to be some leeway when national security is an issue.
Senator Grassley, Ann in Cedar Rapids writes to us, why has the Judicial Committee and the Senate been in such a rush to confirm so many federal judges setting a record pace while previously they dragged their feet under the Obama administration? Why not slow down and let the people speak in the fall?
Oh, well, for instance, there's 3 weeks ago, 149 vacancies. So the vacancies speak for themselves to try to get these vacancies filled as fast as we can so that there can be justice administered fairly. So judges aren't overworked and they can get their job done. The other issue is that one of the reasons it's being filled sooner is because this White House, when they got into office and sworn in, they had a determination that they weren't going to wait 6 months to get things up to the Senate to act on. They got them up here much faster than anybody else. And, of course, the Senate is operating only on those that are we can only operate on those given to us. So bottom line of it is we try to do it the same way it's been done for, several decades. Well, I shouldn't say several decades, but recent years, we try to have four hearings on district judges and one circuit judge every other Wednesday. So this means that every other Thursday, a month later, we're voting these people out of committee. And that's why there's 49 on the calendar now that needs to be worked on. And we're facing Democrat filibusters on all these, which slows things up. Even when, like last week, we approved two judges 95-0, but every one of them took a great deal of time just because Democrats want to put sand in the machinery of the United States Senate.
Okay, we very short on time. Senator Grassley, last week you said, if I were president of the United States and I had a lawyer who told me I could pardon myself, I think I'd hire a new lawyer. Now, the idea that a president could pardon himself has never been tested in court, to my understanding. Do you think there's any way that such an action could be constitutional, a president pardoning himself?
Like I said, I'd get another lawyer. That's bad advice. Nobody in this country is above the law. Nobody, including the president. I think that was proved with Nixon during the Watergate time.
Okay, Rudolph Giuliani, the president's personal attorney, said if Donald Trump pardoned himself, he would be impeached the next day. Do you agree? Would you and your Senate colleagues agree that impeachment was the right step if the president did pardon himself?
Well, don't forget, the House impeaches. We're a jury.
Right.
To look at the evidence independently. So as a juror, I should not answer your question.
Okay. What would be your response if the president pardoned himself or tried to pardon himself?
There would be... first of all, you're asking me to speculate, and that's not very smart for senators.
Well, the president has said it's not speculation. He has said he could pardon himself, so it's really not speculation, is it?
Well, obviously, I disagree with that. He can't pardon himself.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Senator Grassley, yeah. Always a pleasure to have you on, and we'll take you up on the offer to contact you more than once a year.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate it. Senator Charles Grassley joining us live from Washington. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about the hazards of summer, all types of hazards, so water, boating, on farms, with ATVs. You want to tune in, avoid accidents during our warm winter, warm summer months. River to River is produced by Catherine Perkins and Lindsay Moon. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.